Yes, it's the day before Thanksgiving, normally Insight Wednesday, but due to the fact that we're not on the air live tomorrow and Friday, we have asked Pastor Wes Reimnitz to come on board Wednesday, and so we're making this a Rumination Wednesday. How are you doing, Pastor Reimnitz?
I'm doing great. Blessed Thanksgiving to you and to all our listeners out there.
Yes, there is much to be thankful for. And one would imagine that my wife gave me an article from the newspaper that the Pope allows all priests to absolve the grave sin of abortion. And one would say, boy, we ought to be thankful for that. But that means you don't understand the title of the article.
How's that?
Well, who is this gentleman who can allow all priests to absolve the grave sin of abortion when Jesus did it in John chapter 20?
20, yeah. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven.
Why do we need the permission of the Pope?
Well, it's the structure of the way they set up their church, isn't it?
No, that's a very good point. In fact, that's one thing we want to start with, that in Roman Catholic theology, there is a distinction between, I was taught as major and minor sins. So a major or a grave sin, such as abortion, guess what that does? According to the article that I'm reading, it immediately puts you into a state of excommunication. And therefore, according to Roman Catholic theology, and I'm reading right from their statements, it's such a serious sin that you not only are excommunicating yourself, but only a bishop or a designated special confessor could grant absolution for an abortion and lift the excommunication. So In our church, there's no sin a person does whereby he excommunicates himself. The excommunication is an act of the church in withholding the forgiveness of sins when we find not someone who's done a serious sin or even a minor sin, but any sin where there is no repentance.
I think that's key. You hit the nail on the head. It's the sins that go unrepentant, and that should cause people to go into a sweat.
Yes, and so our dear Roman Catholic friends, They may think, well, that's wonderful that the priest now can absolve the grave sin of abortion. Well, frankly, the office of the keys, we call it, and can you explain a little bit about what is the office of the keys?
Well, office of the keys, we generally refer to ministry, but it is forgiving and retaining sins, and which you pointed out from John chapter 20.
Yes, receive the Holy Spirit that if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
And we do that, we generally do that every Sunday when we do that confession of sins. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins when the congregation has confessed them.
Yeah, that's called the absolution. And it's not just given to the apostles back in John 20. It's also given to the church. And so a parent can forgive the sins of a child. A child can forgive the sins of another child. This forgiveness of sins is not just something only the pastor can do. In the worship service, in public proclamation, that is the task of the pastor. But just as in our old hymnal, remember we had an emergency rite for infant baptism?
Yep.
And that meant a lay person could do the baptism. So
I think you really bring up a good point, though, you know, about being able to forgive one another, especially, you know, with married couples and work situations. road rage, we get out there, than being able to forgive one another when there's repentance.
You mean I should have forgiven that guy who cut me off coming to work today?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to honk the horn and shake the fist.
Yes. Oh, I tell you. Road rage is getting bad. In fact, I love going the speed limit, and there's nobody I ever pass when I put it on cruise control. I tell you, I don't know why the police aren't out there on Highway 270, police, during the rush hour, because, boy, people are just going 75, 80 miles an hour. You could really make quite a bit of money for the police. But
during rush hour, when I get down there, I'm lucky if I go 5 miles an hour in some of those zones.
Yes, because people from Illinois don't know how to drive properly. Okay, moving on. Now, there wasn't everything bad in the declaration. For example, he indicates that the words of forgiveness apply not just to the woman who has the abortion, but all those who were involved in an abortion, to the nurse, to the doctor, whoever supports this procedure. And a few years ago, I actually put into the process of excommunication a woman in our congregation who was a secretary, only a secretary, at the abortion clinic. But I indicated to her that she was therefore supporting that grave sin. And she not only repented of it, but she got another job. So excommunication didn't go through. But that's an important point to understand. I mean, how many people encourage a woman to have an abortion? Maybe because it's her boyfriend or her parents. They don't want to be embarrassed. That was very good what the Pope said there, that this mercy ought to be stressed to all who are involved with the abortion. But here's a statement he made. There is no sin that God's mercy cannot reach and wipe away when it finds a repentant heart seeking to be reconciled.
Right, yeah, I caught that too, and I thought, well, that was good. Especially here in these last couple of months where all this nonsense with the elections and back and forth, and somebody said this 20 years ago, you know.
Well, the fact is, though, that there still are, in Roman Catholic theology, this distinction between grave and venial sins, mortal and venial, they'll call them, major or minor. And therefore, there are some sins that can only be forgiven by a bishop, not by a priest.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's something Roman Catholics need to be aware of, because I don't find any of those distinctions in the Bible at all. I mean, this Sunday school lesson for this week, which I did on issues, etc., yesterday, was about David and Bathsheba. What that would be considered a grave sin.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But what's interesting is David going out and confessing his sins to his pastor, to the prophet Nathan.
Exactly. And when he says, I have sinned against the Lord, the law had done its work, and therefore Nathan then gave him the gospel, you will not die. Your sins are forgiven. Now, the temporal consequences still took place. Namely, the child died, so God would not be mocked. But David said, after he heard of the death of the child, I will not go, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him, which is one of the, in my opinion, good verses in the Bible talking about the resurrection of life after death.
You know, kind of reminds me of the gospel lesson that's coming up tomorrow with the 10 lepers. One returns and gives thanks for his healing.
Yes, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be preaching on that one. I'm not going to be preaching on that one, because it just so happens I'm preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm tomorrow at 9 a.m., and I asked the secretary, what was the bulletin from last year? She gave it to me, and then I looked to see who was preaching, and guess who it was?
It was you.
It was me. I preached on the 10 lepers, so.
You can't preach on last year's sermon, huh?
Well, that's assuming that the congregation can't remember what I said last year. And that may be true.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, I've often thought about doing an exact sermon the Sunday after I did it the first time and see if anybody notices it's the same sermon.
Well, you remember I used to work for the Central Illinois District.
Yes.
And I had to watch what side of the district I was on because I would interchange some of my paragraphs.
Yes.
And there would be people visiting from other churches and said, I heard that when you came over to my church. So I had to keep the paragraphs fresh.
Well, I've been preaching for over 40 years, and with the computer, you can keep most of them. But unfortunately, as I look back, one of the things I do in each sermon, I attempt to put some contemporary issue that's going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's a little difficult to do a Thanksgiving sermon when certain events haven't occurred this year that occurred when I did it last time.
Well, I would be preaching on items like congregational life or stewardship or
yes.
things like this that you could use some paragraphs here and there.
Well, let's go to some other news. Do you have some news from us from the Book of Revelation?
Well, we were covering it in Havana when we were up there. It was quite interesting. It was kind of a review. And one of the discussion points that we had was when you're trying to study Revelation, you have to remember, the forest through the trees issue that one deals with.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when one is in a forest looking at the trees, they can't see the forest, can they?
Yes.
And when you're looking at Revelation and you're trying to look at various parts of it, Revelation is really a discussion of the end times. And as Lewis Brighton brings out in his commentary, the end times started with the ascension of Christ into heaven and goes until his second coming.
Yes.
And what does that mean? That means we're in the middle of it right now.
Or we could be right at the end.
Or we could be. Well,
if you stop hearing me speak, it could be I was raptured. Oh, no, we don't believe that. You too would be in the heavens with me in the clouds. And are we going to be disappointed that we didn't finish the radio program?
Oh, no, we would never be disappointed.
No, you're right.
With the coming. But that brings up, Brighton brings up that whole point of linear interpretation or cyclic.
Yes, cyclical. In other words, there's, seven trumpets, there's seven seals, there's seven bowls. This isn't Jesus coming back three times. It's the same event, just from a different perspective.
Right. And I think that's important for us to remember, because linear is kind of an ABC kind of in progression. And that's where they come up with those two or three times three or four times of Christ's return. And with a cyclic interpretation. And it isn't something that just came up within the last few years. If you read his commentary, it was something through the ages.
Yes. A number of the church fathers recognized that there was only one return of Jesus. And that's pretty well explained in 1 Thessalonians as well as in Matthew. With the sheep and the goats, that we all appear in the clouds before God. There's not just a rapturing of Christians and then the rest of the people 1,000 years later. No, it occurs instantly in the clouds, and there'll be no time for you to make a decision, because you'll be maybe sitting at a table eating supper, and the next moment you're in the clouds.
Right. It's in an instant.
Yes. So they were kind of surprised at some of the things they found in Revelation?
Well, it was kind of a review. It was kind of interesting. Of course, my interpretation is, when does the end of the world come? When the last person comes to faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And they still remember that.
Yeah, that's the promise of the elect, that the elect will be saved. And that could occur in 5 minutes or it could occur in 5,000 years.
That's right.
But every moment, every age, the Christian can see that all the signs of the end are being fulfilled. So nobody should be surprised if he comes immediately.
Right. And I think every time we see this, rumors of wars, nation against nation, earthquakes, famines, when we see all this distress going on, they're just signs. They're signposts telling us that Christ is coming.
Yes. That's really important to say, that when there are some people who try to interpret them so they can tell when he's coming. I remember when I was growing up, you know, Russia was going to be the beast from the north that was going to attack us. And as soon as they, you know, sent various atomic bombs or whatever they had, that was going to be the end of the world. Now it's switched over to China. And who knows what it's going to be. It could be Peru, you know, 100 years from now, if we're still here.
Right.
So these signs are not meant for us to be able to calculate when he's returning, but to show that he could return at any moment like a thief in the night.
Yep, he's there. And the big thing is, will he find faith? Do you believe and trust in the promises?
And that's why faith is the way in which God now decides whether a person is going to heaven or to hell, not on the basis of works, but on the basis of faith and faith alone.
And, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6, for instance, it says, today is the acceptable time to believe. Today is the day of salvation. It's right now we need to be believing and trusting in the promises of Christ.
Yes, yesterday at youth confirmation for the public school kids, this was in the evening at Trinity Orchard Farm, we had a new student who's not a member of Trinity and would like to be confirmed, so she joined us. And one of the things I showed her, and I talked a little bit about it, was that video of a car driving into a parking lot area with a police car with his lights on behind him. And he has the young man go to the back of his own car, kneel down, appears to put cufflinks on him, and then has, not cufflinks, what are they called?
Handcuffs.
Thank you. And then his girlfriend gets out of the car, and he has her stand beside him. He goes back to his car, the police car, comes back with a camera, says, can I take a picture now? And the man who's kneeling down with his hands behind his back says, yes. He brings the girl closer to him, pretending he's taking a picture of both of them. And guess what he does? The young man is not handcuffed. He takes his hands from behind his back and gives his girlfriend a ring, asking her to marry him. And they thank the policeman. He was on it from the beginning, you know. And I talk about that as Judgment Day, that on the day of judgment, according to Philippians, every knee shall be bowed, and Jesus will come out, and to the believers he will hand them a wedding ring, because Jesus is the groom, and the church is
right.
Yes.
But the judgment, you know, the final judgment is a scene. It foretells already what's been going on in our lives right now, does it not?
Yes. In fact, the first judgment of a person gets is actually at the moment that they die, because their spirit either goes to the place of the unbelievers, as Jesus went down, his descendant to hell, those who were unbelieving during the days of Noah, or they go to be with Jesus. And Jesus talks about it in this way to the thief on the cross. Today you'll be with me in
paradise.
Paradise. Paradise was the third level of Judaism's ranking of heavens. We don't think there's a third level, but that's the way that it appears Jesus was referring to the interim, when your spirit is with him, but not your body.
Well, there in 2 Corinthians 5, it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, whether we've done good or bad.
Yes.
And a little earlier before that, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes, and that's where it's really, really important. Yesterday, I had done a study in preparation for a preaching here at the International Sermon, and Isaiah was talking about the new heavens and the new earth, and I asked the people who would disagree that he's talking about life after death in heaven, and nobody put their hand up, but he's actually talking about life here on earth
yeah.
in the holy Christian church, because even now we do not bear children to damnation, but through baptism and the preaching and teaching of them of God's word, they also come into a right relationship with God.
Would we say then from Revelation that the 144,000, which is that perfect church militant, is ongoing right now with the church?
Yes. And the way to know that that's not talking about the number who are in heaven. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses believe only 144,000 are going to heaven, and all the rest of the believers are going to be on a new earth.
Earth, yeah.
But the fact that in the very next verse, after mentioning the 12,000 from each of the tribes, verse 9 says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and crying out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
You know, and it's a good point that you bring up, and I love that verse 14, you know, where it says, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, so that seems odd that the blood's red, but when you wash your robe in it, it's white.
Holy baptism, huh?
Exactly.
That exchange that goes on the cross when he dies for us.
Yes. And what do you wear? Do you wear a cassock surplice or an alb?
An alb.
Yes, I still do the old cassock, which is dark, representing sin, and the surplice, which is the robe of righteousness. And your alb is probably white, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. I have to go get it dry cleaned every so often there.
Well, unless it's coming up to Good Friday.
Right.
Do you have a black alb?
Oh, I tell you what, it gets black from wearing it.
Yeah, but on Good Friday. In fact, we were taking a look at the colors. You know what the new color for Ash Wednesday is?
No, I thought it was purple.
No, it's black.
Black, really?
Yes. And that was kind of a surprise to us that it's not purple. And then, of course, you have some where it's violet, too. During Lent. So, I tell you, they keep changing the colors. And I'm not sure it's because they want to sell more vestments and such or what. But, there is a significance to the colors.
I don't remember studying those differences of color. You know, the basics, yes, but the newer ones,
green Pentecost for growth, and then the red, the days of red, of course, referring to the blood of Christ. But you preaching somewhere for Thanksgiving or just attending service?
No, I'm taking it off. Yeah. My wife and I are going up to Havana this evening for Wednesday evening service.
Yeah, we're going to have Thursday morning at Trinity Orchard Farm at 9 a.m., and I'm going to be telling next week what my sermon is about. I don't want to say it now because a number of people at Trinity listen to it. And then when I ask the question at the beginning of the sermon, too many people are going to get it right. And then
maybe they pick up their Bibles, they read it and study it. Preparation for Sunday.
Yes, yes. Well, the readings are found in the hymnal, in fact, for the three readings. I always encourage members of the congregation to have a hymnal at home. and then find out what are the hymns we're singing the coming Sunday so they can go over them with their children if they have them, or take a look at them. Because as you know from Tuesdays, every now and then, Pastor Mark Smith and I have to explain what a hymn is speaking about. So we're not going to be here tomorrow or Friday, but we'll be back live on Monday, and that's when we'll be taking a look at the next lessons for the second Sunday in Advent.
Hey, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, and you too and your family, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again next Thursday, God willing. Okay?
God willing, yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right, God bless. I'm Tom Baker. My email address, in case you want to write to me on anything, is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Till Monday, have a glorious Thanksgiving, for which we have much to thank God for. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.